Every couple of months, it's always a good time to talk to Steve Barnes, who is the Hong Kong visa geezer. How are you?
Hello, Phil.
Welcome back. Lovely to see you. Soaked to the skin.
Shocking. Shocking.
Anyway, there's some news we've got to announce and explain, hopefully, today. And as I always say, if you've got any visa questions, doesn't matter how silly you think they are, it's important to you, drop me a line, morningbrew@rthk.hk. I don't mean visa card either. All right, Steve, what's going on?
Well, you remember last time I came to see you, Phil, I talked about a general tightening up by the Immigration Department across the board.
Yep.
And I mentioned then that there had been some adjustments to the way that investment visas, business investment visas, are considered and approved by the department.
Right.
One of the adjustments was that all approvals were being subject to business review at the end of the first 12 months of the life of the business when the visa holder was coming up for his extension.
Yep.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, it became apparent to me that the Immigration Department have tightened up even further, because we had three investment visas all refused on the same day that were all submitted around about the same time, which the refusals were came in about halfway through the normal application consideration timeframe. Normally it's a six-month time frame, but the applications that were refused had all been refused at 3 months. They all had one thing in common, and that was that their business plans were implemented or implementable over the first 12 months of the life of the business in Hong Kong, whereas now the Immigration Department, from the discussions that I've had and the reading between the lines that's going on, they're now looking at a six-month time frame. So what they're saying is, look, come to Hong Kong, you've got capital, you're going to create jobs, you're going to establish a proper business office set up here, but don't expect us to approve you if you've got a a 12-month timeline, because we want to see you do it in 6 months now, not 12.
What does that mean?
Well, it just means that anecdotally, a lot of applications over the last couple of years have been approved subject to a 12-month business plan, where effectively people are coming with their cash and they've got the money to do the business, but they're saying to the Immigration Department, we expect that we will create local jobs and we'll have a proper office at the end of the first 12 months. And the Immigration Department appear to be saying now, it's not sufficient to have the cash. We think that you should be investing it sooner rather than later, and now we want to see you invest it and have it fully invested, in a sense, within 6 months, not 12.
In the light of all sorts of things that are happening in Hong Kong at the moment, and I mean a whole list of things, something like this, even something like this, makes you go, oh, yeah, So what do you reckon?
Well, I think it's because we have all of we've got thousands and thousands of Europeans in Hong Kong all looking for jobs. And those Europeans clearly can't all take up jobs in Hong Kong. There aren't enough jobs for them.
Right.
So those that have got the wherewithal and the capital are putting their money into businesses.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think the number of investment visa applications has increased tremendously.
Okay.
And now the Immigration Department have got the ability to cherry pick.
But what have your business friends said? Have they said, are they kidding, 6 months? What kind of thing, what kind of, you know, across the board feedback is there on this?
Well, from the three applicants that have been refused, one of them is going to carry on and going to adjust the way that they're planning to do business, and the other two are effectively saying, no, I don't think we can satisfy this new criteria.
But who can? I mean, it's like, who's got a crystal ball?
Well, to the extent that, you know, once upon a time it was okay to have the minimum amount of capital and a decent plan for business and tell the Immigration Department you were going to do it within 12 months.
Yeah.
Now the Immigration Department is saying, we don't think you need 12 months. We think that you can complete these objectives within 6 months, and we want to see you spend the money in the meantime. Because what was happening was a lot of these applications that were approved at 12 months were coming up for extension and hadn't really done too much at that time.
So they're lighting a fire under these guys.
Well, they're
that's
saying,
one way of looking at it.
Yeah, look at it that way. That's true. And effectively, they're saying, it's all well and good having the capital, but you've got to spend it. You can't just, you know, hedge your bets and sort of run lean in the wake of your approval. We expect you now to be creating new jobs within 6 months, not 12.
Is that a big ask in general?
I don't think so, no. I mean, the test is substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong. And, you know, these investors are saying that they're going to create jobs, and they're saying that they're going to open, you know, suitable business premises. It's just that, you know, they were hanging on to the 12-month timeline rather than the 6-month timeline. It just means that they need to expedite their plan, that's all.
I just wonder, compared to other countries, whether that's unfair. I mean, yeah, I don't know what the norm is for these things.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's unfair. I think it's reasonable. I think it's a clear example of the Immigration Department previously being flexible to the extent that they thought that 12 months was a reasonable time frame.
Yeah.
Now, through data received, no doubt, and through policy adjustments as a result of the experience that they've had, they determined, no, let's just get tighter. Let's make it 6 months, not 12 now.
You must have looked at all the info available on this one. Were there certain types of things that were given the green light and certain types of things that weren't?
No, not at all, really.
There's nothing like that.
To me, it's very... I mean, the Immigration Department haven't told me this because they don't explain policy in this fashion. But you know, anecdotally and through what's going on, that, you know, things are being adjusted. And for me now, the advice I'm giving to clients, it's a six-month timeline, not 12. So I won't take on any business investment visa clients now who have got a 12-month timeline to the creation of local jobs. It has to be six.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of critics and writers, etc., columnists have been saying Hong Kong's losing its edge. Is this an example of that? Or have some people said this is an example of that?
I don't know. I wonder about that. I mean, for example, the three cases that got refused, I think they're all worthy of approval.
Right.
One of them absolutely agrees, and so he's going to adjust the way that his expectations of the next few months are insofar as his business goes, so that he can pass the approvability test. The other two, I think, are essentially approvable, but they've made the determination that they're just not going to progress at this point.
No, the weird thing is, it's just he needs to write some more fiction, because it hasn't happened yet.
Well, no, you need to create jobs, so you need to show to the Immigration Department who you've hired.
They want to see the paperwork, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's right, yeah.
And you can only speculate a lot of this stuff.
No.
Because it's a business plan.
Yeah, that's right. And so what the Immigration Department is saying is, look, if you've got $300,000 in your bank account, rather than you having $300,000 in your bank account, some of that money should be deployed into the local economy through the creation of local jobs.
And what if they say, hang on a minute, I'm doing it. Just give me some time here.
Exactly. No, that's right, Phil. And it used to be, that posture used to be over 12 months, but now it seems it's six.
All right. We have talked before about some industries finding it really hard to get people in to do
F&B
work for them.
Particularly,
well, yeah. That's
yeah.
what I was going to say. I mean, have you seen anything in that area?
Not particularly. It's sort of business as usual in that regard. I mean, I think the Immigration Department are cognizant of the fact that the F&B sector struggles with staff. It's a perennial problem, but it's more of a political hot potato than it is a functional...
I'm sure that's doing the rounds amongst the chefs and people like that.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's talk about something dead simple that I don't think we've talked about for ages. It has been, if you're lucky, in inverted commas, quite easy to live almost under the radar here on visitor visas. Now, what's the latest on that? What's the official word on that?
Well, the official word is that if your intention to reside has crystallised, then you shouldn't be expecting to remain in Hong Kong as a visitor because that immigration status isn't sufficient.
Yeah.
But as you know, and I know very well, that because of the quite liberal visitor visa upon arrival arrangements that the vast majority of first world nationals get, when they come to
Hong
Kong.
3 or 6 months.
Yeah, that's right. It's easy for visitors to assume a long-term de facto residence situation whilst they are doing what I've called the Shenzhen shuttle.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have known over the years people who really have been able to milk it on the Macau Mambo.
Interesting. Really, can I coin that phrase?
It's all yours. Time and time again. Yeah. I mean, they may be doing freelancing or whatever, none of my business, but they've managed to do this lots and lots of times.
Well, what they've done is effectively, each time they're presenting themselves at the border, they've been able to persuade the examining officer of their bona fides as visitors to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And you can do that a certain number of times, but there will come a point in the game where the Immigration Department's border control algorithm will kick in and they will be flagged and they will have, you know, to be questioned. And if they've got answers that satisfy the bona fides to the officer they're in, if their answers don't satisfy the officer, then further questions will be asked and there's always a risk of refusal or short conditional landing.
And also it depends, you know, what frame of mind the bloke's in at the border. I mean, whether he looks or can be bothered to look or this, that and the other, you can just end up walking through or get a big zero.
Well, there's always an assessment of the by the immigration officers of the people who are presenting themselves as visitors. That's their core mission at the border. So I don't think they're very blasé or laissez-faire about it. But you're right in so much as when a long-term visitor is questioned by an immigration officer, that experience could lead to the immigration department being in the know about what is keeping them here for so long, and they could be denied entry, or they could get a short conditional landing.
You know the kind of person I'm talking about. I mean, they're not crooks, but they're kind of freelancing here and there, and this, that, and the other, and they've managed to. You go to Macau once, you may go to Zhuhai, Shenzhen, as you say. Sometimes, and I'm sure you've seen this, the head doesn't know what the tail is doing. So I wonder if they're going to get pinged because they go to different places.
That's always a possibility. It's not so much, I think, that they get pinged because they're going to different places. It's very clear from their visitor records as to how much time they're spending in Hong Kong on visitor status. Mm-hmm. And once you get to more than 180 days a year, effectively, the visitor visa is not suitable for your time here. Clearly something is going on that's keeping you here on a prolonged basis.
Yeah.
And whatever that is, you should have the immigration status to support that rationale for being here. Visitor is not going to be sufficient.
Is it fair to say, though, that even now, because there's so many people coming in from all over the place to Hong Kong, mostly from the mainland, as we know, is it fair to say that Joe Foreigner is playing a flip of a coin? He could easily get away with coming in and out lots and lots of times.
Well, you and I both know of examples where that's happened. So, without a doubt,
I suppose so.
It's certainly possible.
It's not to be advised, according to Steve Barnes.
Clearly not, no.
But you think this is, but the thing is, though, is this relative to how difficult it is to get, working
residence
visas?
Well, that's a great point, Phil, because to the extent that an applicant may not have the conditions at play in their life for them to qualify for a formal residence visa, then they don't have any options. So what they're doing is literally hanging on to their visitor status by the skin of their teeth.
Indeed. What about other countries? You know a bit about Aussie. What would they do?
It was a completely different situation.
Right, but just asking.
Firstly, the Australian process is a lot more bureaucratic and there's a lot, I can't say tighter because it's a much bigger country, but it's, how can I put this? There's a lot less leeway in terms of people who come and go on an extended stay basis. And I think that's because of the geography. To get to Australia, you have to make a significant effort. You've got to get an airplane, for one.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas here, of course, you know, we're pinged China, so people cross the boundary all the time because of, you know, lawful activities that are going on in China. So it's perfectly reasonable for foreign nationals who've got interests in the region to be spending time frequently in Hong Kong without actually breaching their conditions of stay as a visitor.
All right.
So there's attention in that regard. But compared to Australia, it's a very, very different kettle of fish.
I want to go to an email here from Darren. It's morningbrew@rthk.hk. He says, what is and who qualifies for a Hong Kong training visa?
Okay, training visa is issued under the General Employment Policy. And it's designed for foreign nationals, including mainlanders, to be in Hong Kong for usually 6 months at a time to either receive training from a suitable employer in Hong Kong or to deliver training in relation to a situation in Hong Kong.
Right.
And normally these visas are granted 6 months without too many questions being asked, as long as there's a decent training plan.
There has to be
a training plan that sets out exactly what the training's all about.
Mm-hmm.
You can push the immigration department up to an absolute maximum of 12 months, but you need to have a very substantial training plan to achieve that result. The training visa itself calls for the holder to leave Hong Kong at the end of a period of training and then go back to from where they came to take advantage of the training outcomes that they've received while they're in Hong Kong.
Right.
You can't, in normal circumstances, extend a training visa because the training plan that you put in for the purpose of the initial approval is usually definitive.
That's it.
And then you can't normally change your status from training visa through to an employment visa after your training is finished with that same sponsoring employer.
Right. Well, there's another one just to wrap up with here that interests a lot of people. So here we are. We're in July. University's finishing or finished. September comes, August comes. You want to do some work. So students who can work coming into the place.
Right. Normally, students don't get permission to work.
Is it there, though?
With their student visas, unless you're in a PhD or an advanced master's program.
Ah, okay.
And then you can usually get some special dispensation to do work, usually associated with the university campus, or if it's a PhD, normally associated with your field of study, and it's usually for 2 months during the summer holidays.
Right. I'm just talking about paying the rent. So I suppose they think. Do they put a lid on how much they can earn? Do you know?
No.
Not at all.
No.
Because, you know, talking about, as I said, students, interns, whatever. I've heard people say to me, oh, it's OK, I've got a student visa, but I can work.
Well, you can't on the student visa unless, as I say, it's specifically related to PhD activities. But what you can do is once you've graduated, whilst your student visa is still valid, you can make an application under the immigration arrangements for non-local graduates. And that effectively means that the Immigration Department will give you a rubber stamp 1 year working
visa.
They'll
get you in for a chat, won't they?
No, it's a rubber stamp. It's almost a rubber stamping exercise, actually. You go with your graduation certificate within 6 months of graduation whilst you've still got a valid student visa, and then you adjust your status to immigration arrangements from local graduates, which is a 1 year, no questions asked, automatic working visa. You can work for anybody. Immigration Department don't care about who you're working for, what you're doing in that one.
Brilliant,
year.
Nice one. And just before we go, you didn't like me calling you a TV star. I think you are a TV star, aren't you?
I'm never on TV. I produce a few videos that go on the internet. That's about it, Phil.
He wants you to look at his website. Steve Barnes is the Hong Kong Visa Geezer. Thank you so much for coming, mate.